Walking through the book of Judges. So we've just done a couple chapters so far. Today we're going to cover two chapters all in once. Hopefully, if you were here before and I gave you the homework, hopefully you read through this. I'm going to read through chapter 4 so we can have an overarching idea of what's going on, and just in case you didn't do your homework, that's okay. And if you did, maybe you'll pick up a couple extra things when we read through it. But as we're walking through the book of Judges, today's message specifically, if you're looking to find it later, is entitled Deborah and Barak, or Barak, I'm not sure exactly how you say it, but because of our culture and our context, we'll say Barak, God's Call to Faithful Leadership. Okay, that's the title of today's message. And you can know an awful lot about the culture as a whole. You can know an awful lot about a team. You can know an awful lot about a church, right? About when things need to happen, who's stepping forward? Who's going to step forward in a crisis? Who's going to stand up and say, I'll go, right? You can know a lot about a culture, about a team, about a group, by what happens with that. You may or may not remember this. I know it's going to feel like it's been an awful long time ago, but in 2022, I remember a shooting at Robb Elementary in Uvalde, Texas. Do you guys remember that? I was real sad about that. If you remember that at all, then you remember that as that shooting took place, one of the most prominent examples of the police in action happened during that time, where it seemed like, now of course, this is not a political statement, I'm just reminding you of what I was reminded of when I was crafting this. It seemed to me that they should have went in sooner. It seemed to me that they stood by and kind of watched things unfold when it should have been a time to charge in. Of course, there are other stories like this too. There are other stories of when people should have acted, but they didn't. And there's some much more recent than that that are probably closer in your mind. But that's one that stuck out to me. Now, I'm not a police officer, and I don't play one on TV, but I would like to think that if I was in that same situation, I would have got fired that day. Because whatever the rules were or whatever came down the pike, I would like to think that I would be one that would stand up. But the fact is, none of us know until we're there, right? Now, I mean, it's great to play armchair quarterback. We do that all the time, but none of us know. But in Judges 4 and 5, we're going to see that Israel was oppressed. There was fear in the land. And that God raised up people to do things in a certain time. And we're going to see how God calls leaders. And so, while primarily this message is not for women today, this message is for men. I do want to say that I hope my sisters in Christ will also get something from it. And so, don't, you know, put your earbuds in or start scrolling on some other thing. Just stay with me, ladies, if for nothing else than to know how to pray for the men in your lives. But as we get into today's text, I want to encourage all of you not to wait for someone else to do what God has already called you to, but instead to be obedient even when it seems like people around you aren't. So let's pray and we'll jump into today's text. Can we do that? God, our Father in heaven, I thank you for all that you are doing in Allegan County. I am so blessed by our sister sharing what she sees through the ministry that she's a part of. And we here recognize also the things that you are doing here for us. And so we just praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. And even as we sing these songs about the blood of your Son applied to us, we know that we deserve none of it. And that even at times when we are faithless, you are faithful. And so, God, I pray that as we look in today's text, that you would speak to us, that it wouldn't be opinion or, you know, one man's understanding, but we would pray for your Holy Spirit. And so, God, be with us today, we pray. Let us focus on your word. Let us hear what you are saying to us, that when we leave here today, we might be doers and not just hearers. It's in your name we ask this. Amen. So, I'm going to read. Now, some of you had mentioned to some of the board, and they did tell me this. I realize that I talk very fast. I'm going to give you a disclaimer, okay? Two things you need to know. One, when I listen to books on tape or when I listen to podcasts and stuff like that, I regularly listen to it on speed 1.2 or 1.5 as the minimum. And depending on the speaker, so like if I'm listening to John Piper, it's a 2.0 listen because he is too slow for me, okay? So that is the way my brain works. I am always, you have to remember, ADD, okay? So like that's where I'm at. I'm going to try to slow down for you, but no guarantees, okay? And also what they've said, and so I want you to think about this too. Usually I give 30 minutes to myself to preach and then we move out of here because I know you guys have other things to do and stuff like that as well. But if we can move it to 45 minutes, that might give me the ability to feel like I can slow down. So the most people that's going to affect is folks that are volunteering in nursery or junior church or things like that. So think about that, pray about that. If that's something that you want, then let the board and the elders or deacons know, and we can move it back. I can listen to myself talk all day, believe it or not. So that's fine. So in Judges 4, I'll read this. You can follow along. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, it's going to be up here. If you have a different translation than the ESV, that's fine. But here's what the ESV says. And the people of Israel again. Oh, and they're going to click through because I don't want to try to click and do all this. All right. Enough caveats. Let's get to God's Word. That's what we're here for. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived at Harosh Hagoyim. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he opposed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. Now, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lebadoth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinom from Kedesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, and meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kedesh. And Barak called out Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh, and 10,000 men went up at his heels, and Deborah went with him. Now, Heber the Kenite, had separated from the Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses. By the way, this is why genealogies matter, right? Because you're like, who are all these people? Well, you'd know if you studied your genealogies. Anyhow, and so the father-in-law of Moses, he had pitched his tent far away from the oaks in Zanim, which is near Kedesh. Also, in the back of your Bible, you probably have maps. You can use that too if you're wondering where these places are. When Sisera was told that Barak, the son of Abinom, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera called out his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the men were with him from Harosh Hagoyim to the river Kishon. Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army before Barak by the edge of the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot. And Barak pursued the chariots and the army of Harosh Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. They routed him. 17, but Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. I keep wanting to add extra syllables in there. For there was a peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael came out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me and do not be afraid." So he turned aside to her into her tent. She covered him with a rug. And he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the opening of the tent, and if any man comes and asks you, is anyone here, say no." But Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand. And then she went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple until it went down into the ground while he was laying fast asleep from weariness. So he died. And behold, as Barak was pursuing Sisera, Jael went out to meet him and said to him, "Come, and I will show you the man whom you are seeking." So he went to her tent, and there lay Sisera dead with a tent peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel, and the hand of the people of Israel pressed harder and harder against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. Now, Canaan during this time was the main, you know, ne'er-do-wells in the area. They are the ones who often put up the Baals and the Asherahs that we read all through the Old Testament. It's the Canaanites, okay? Those are the guys and the gals who did all that. All right, now, that's the text. The second part of the text is chapter 5, which I do not want to read for you. You can read that. That's a song that they sing afterwards. And in the song, they call out some of the leaders for not coming. They're extolling God for what he's done, and they're just singing it as a means to remember what has happened. They extol the army. They extol Jael. Deborah kind of makes her piece in that too, so you can read through that. All of this, though, is in the context of the four main points that I want to give you this morning, okay? So that's the story right there. We just read it. And then the song about the story is in the next chapter, and that's why I'm not going to read through that. You can do that. Here's the first point. You guys ready? God calls men to lead with courage, not hesitation. I don't know if you saw in the text, but I surely did. Two times, Barak had to be told what to do. This is what it says in verse 4, chapter 6. Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go? And then later again in Judges 4, 8, he responded with, Barak said to her, if you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. I have trouble respecting Barak for that answer. I hope you do too. Now, here's the thing. I've read commentaries, so I want to give a fair interpretation of this text. Some commentators believe that this was a good thing, that Barak was saying this because he wanted the prophet of Israel to come with him. That could be. Other commentators say that, you know, the whole fact that there was a female judge over Israel at the time, the whole time that it starts off with saying the people of Israel were doing what was evil in the sight of God, the whole fact that it appears that Barak had already had this command because it seems like she's just reminding him, according to the text, that it seems like Barak is not being faithful and is kind of being, for lack of better terminology, kicked in the pants and then also hesitant to go. That's where I land with it. Maybe I'm being not as charitable to Barak as I should. But I'm noticing something in our culture, and I want to speak to that. I'm noticing in our culture men taking the seat and letting women lead. And they're doing that in so many different areas. And I know some of you women in this room are probably getting upset with me right now. I haven't even said that it's not good for women to do certain things. You're putting that on me. Don't saddle me with your thoughts on things. So easy. But I think that we can all agree that Scripture is very clear that men are supposed to be leading. They're supposed to be the head of the household. They're supposed to be leading in churches. They're supposed to be, I believe then, according to Scripture and what it looks like, leading in positions of government. And there are so many places where men are simply allowing themselves to just do what? I don't know. Have hobbies or video games or be so engrossed with pornography that they are not stepping up to the positions that they're called to? We should be ashamed. We should be ashamed as a church. We should be ashamed as Americans. Deborah calls Barak to action on God's purposes, but he hesitates and says, if you'll go with me, then I'll go. Did she not just tell him, God is calling you to go and he's going to deliver Sisera and the chariots and everything into your hand? I want so bad to be charitable. I want to give him the grace of saying he wanted the prophet to come with him. But then I read the rest of the text and it appears to me to rebuke him and say, I'll go with you, but just so you know, the glory is no longer yours. So that's where I get it from. And so faithful leadership requires courage rooted in God's word, not comfort or companionship. So if you're a boy and you're here today, change your life based on God's word. If you're a man and you're here today, if you're a husband, Are you seeking to be a provider and a protector? Are you seeking to lead in the principles of godly leadership? Or are you allowing your wife to do that? If you're a father, are you seeking to train up your children and be transparent with our sin? I'm not perfect, okay? I never tell my kids that I'm perfect. I do tell them, hey, it's my responsibility to seek to tell you what God's word says because that's my responsibility. Are we leading our children and training them with transparency, with honesty, with I don't know what the culture would call authenticity? Men, are you aware of the political climate that we're in, of local laws that are being passed, of the people who are running? Or are you just waiting for your wife to tell you who it is that you should vote for? So many of us are deciding that we're just going to coast. And here's why. It's easy. What was Barack doing before he went to war? I don't know. Living his best life, maybe. And then here's this lady telling him he's got to do something. What a nag. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, thank God that there is also godly women that are willing to kick us in the pants, okay? So women, there's your amen. Go ahead and give it. Now back to the men. When they kick you in the pants, then stinking stand up and go to war. So I want to ask you then, what's causing you to hesitate? Is it fear? Sometimes it can be. Sometimes it's just simply fear of failure. Well, if I try and I mess up, well then, you know, what am I going to do with that? I don't know. Dust yourself off and try again. Maybe it's fatigue. Maybe you think to yourself, I would love to do these things that you're talking about, Pastor, and I instantly feel a conviction when you're telling me, but to be honest, there are so many other things going in my life right now, I am just simply tired. Okay? I appreciate that. There's an eternal rest you get to look forward to. I don't know if you ever heard the saying, you know, make hay while the sun shines. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Oh, Solomon put it, go to the ant, O sluggard, right? So I guess tough love, like, okay, you're tired. Suck it up, buttercup. Or maybe it's just simply your flesh. Like, my flesh, I want to do these things, but I cannot physically do them. Okay. This is a church body. When one member suffers, the rest suffer, right? So should the eye say to the ear, because I'm not near, I have no longer need of you, or should the, you know, so, okay, so you can't do these things? Find someone else to help. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you believe that? That's what God's word says. Now, I understand context. He said that to Joshua. Do you believe the overarching truth that in Christ we can do all things? We can do all things in Christ who strengthens us to do the things that Christ would have us to do. Do you believe that? 1 Corinthians 16:13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. George Patton said, courage is not the absence of fear, but the willingness to act in spite of it. So the first application I would have for this is simply this. Men of faith must act on what God has already spoken. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. I think that we forget that sometimes. Second point, I think, that this text shows us is that when men fail to lead, God will still accomplish his purposes. And I praise God for that. And you should too. Judges 4:9 tells us this, and she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Now, as we read this, if today's was the first time that you read this text, well, firstly, do your homework. Secondly, if this is the first time you've read this text, you might have been thinking, oh, she's talking about herself. Sisera is going to be held, sold into her hand. But no, we know from the text, it wasn't even Deborah. And so what we can see is that God absolutely will accomplish his purposes, sometimes even in spite of us being lazy, no good men. Sisters, that was another good time for an amen, I guess. It was a softball pitch and you missed it, but that's...
They love us too much to say.
Okay, that's fair. That's good. So we need to understand that Barak's hesitation didn't stop God's plan. God's plan continued to go forward. And so we can take heart in that. Because sometimes we don't act because of things in our past. Sometimes we don't act because we think we're not going to be of service or we're going to mess things up. Perhaps you're not willing to serve in certain areas because of some black mark in your history. Well, God is bigger than your mistakes. God's bigger than your sins. God is called the Redeemer. God restores the broken. God renews that which is tired. God brings fresh life and fresh fire when we ask for it. See, God's work doesn't depend on us, but our obedience determines our part in His story. And so I guess the good news is, guys, I suppose you can continue to coast and God's work is still going to be done, I guess. But is that what you want? Do you want to rest on, you know, it's okay, God's going to do it anyway, so I'll just coast. So what are you going to do about this? You know, this church has deacons and elders. You have to be a member of the church to be a deacon and an elder. It's the rules. There's reasons for that. Talk to me about it later. If you have any problems with anything I've said, just talk to me about it later. I don't have time right now. This church has deacons and elders. We have, what is it? Two deacons right now? We have three deacons technically right now. One of them is going to be an elder, I hope, soon. So then we have two deacons. And now we have three elders, myself, Steve, and we're going to put forward Grant. You know, I guess I stole my thunder for that later. Is that enough for the church? Is that enough to care for this many souls? If it's not, men, what are you going to do about it? Well, I can't be a deacon because I did this back in my past. Or I can't be an elder because I did that back in the past. Why don't you let God and His Holy Spirit and the other men who are on that positions in those areas and the church body as a whole, why don't you let them pray about that, seek God's wisdom, and why don't you let them help you through that? Now, if you want to talk to me about that, that's fine. Are there some things that may be disqualifying from that? Yeah, okay, sure. But where are some other areas that you can serve? Who are you discipling? Are you meeting with somebody regularly? Are you meeting with a group of men regularly to hold one another accountable, to do life together? Or is Sunday morning all you're doing? Are you reading your Bibles, rest, Monday through Saturday? Did you read Judges 4 and 5? Those are two chapters. You see how fast I just read that? Well, Pastor, I don't read as fast as you. Fine, you had 6 days. Are you held accountable to anybody? Does anybody know your stuff? I mean, anybody? Or are you just floating out there in the ether? I guess what I'm asking is, like, are you okay with just coasting? Are you okay with letting somebody else have your glory? I'm not. I am not okay with letting somebody else have my glory. I want the glory that God has given to me for the roles that He's called me to do. And you're going to say, well, that sounds super prideful. No, it's not. What I want to do is be faithful to what God has called me to so I'm not missing out. I don't want God to just act in spite of me. I want God to act through me. Do you not want that? Esther 4:14, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise up from the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Wherever you're at and wherever God has you, you are there so that God can work through you. You're not just filling the gap for the next person. Matthew 25:28. So take that talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Do not be deceived. We are storing up treasure for ourselves in heaven. Everything that you are doing for the glory of the Lamb, absolutely. And he is going to reward you for your labors. Charles de Gaulle said, "The graveyards are full of indispensable men." During World War II, I don't know if there's a lot of history buffs in here. Just quick show of hands. If you're a history buff, raise your hand. Okay, great. So there's a handful of you. Okay, wonderful. You might know this story. So don't shout it out. Let me do it, okay? So during World War II, one general delayed an attack, waiting for better weather. Another commander advanced anyway, and he won the battle, and one of the men's name was Bernard Montgomery. Do you know that name? If you're a history buff, you might. Most of us, we don't know that name. Do you know the name of the other man who pushed through and went anyway? I just did a quote from him. Perhaps you've heard it before. His name is George Patton. Do you remember that name? See, this is why this matters. I think every single one of us wants to leave a mark on history, even if that mark is simply in our own family, which is fine. That's enough, right? So if we refuse to step up in our homes, in our church, in this generation, God's still going to move, but you're going to miss out. And you're going to miss out in a big, big way. I don't want fear to let you become a footnote in God's victory. Next point. Godly women are vital partners in God's mission. So here it is, ladies. I'm sure you were waiting for this. Judges 4:4 says, "Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lebadath, was judging Israel at the time." You see, here's the thing. Praise God for godly women who step up when our men fail. Okay? Men, that's a good place for you to say amen. Okay? That just is. And so we need to be thankful for the godly women in our lives that are willing to pick up the slack when we fail. And when service is over today, if you have a godly woman who you're convicted of is picking up the slack for you when you fail, you best be apologizing in the parking lot. That's all I can say to you. But also, not only Deborah, but Jael plays, or Jael, or however you say this, she plays a key role. If you notice, Jael does not wait to act either. And so the same is true for women as it is for men. Like, listen, it is, okay, I'm just going to help all your marriages right now. It is the Holy Spirit's job to nag your husband, not yours. Let the Holy Spirit do his job. You just pray, okay? You want your husband to change? Wear out your knees, okay? That's all I can tell you. Pray, pray, pray. Or, and maybe, ask for help from the church. That's what deacons and elders and brothers in Christ are for. Okay? Go to another man who you know your man has a relationship with already. Say, "Hey, so-and-so needs you right now." That's all you need to say. You don't need to say, "Hey, so-and-so doesn't pick up his socks. Could you help him with that?" No. Stop it. Let the Holy Spirit do the Holy Spirit thing. Okay? But also, you don't need to just sit around and wait either. When men and women serve together, the mission of God moves forward in strength. Sisera died because Jael knew how to handle a hammer and a tent peg. Praise God for that. Sisera died because Jael was home, was doing what, you know, doing the house stuff. She was there. She did all the good stuff. She offered him food. She was hospitable. She brought, like, I'm not saying invite random men into your homes. That's not the point of this part of the text. Don't do that. But what I am saying is, because Barak was, and actually historically, if you know like the background of stuff, Barak was going the wrong way. He did not even notice that Sisera was going the other direction. As if you know, like, again, look in the back of your maps and stuff like that. So Sisera's leaving. He's the chariots, because of the flood and the water and all the other stuff that I'm not talking about too, that God did, which was awesome. Okay, like, flooded them out. The chariots couldn't move because they're made of iron, all this kind of stuff. They couldn't move. Sisera left. He leaves on foot. Barak is chasing everybody else the other way. Sisera leaves. And so God does exactly what he said that he would do through a godly woman. So I also want to ask this question. Maybe you're asking this question. So what roles should a woman have in church? Because we have Deborah, who's a prophetess and who's a judge, and we have Jael, who's, you know, a stone-cold killer. So what roles should women have in church? Well, I'm glad you asked. I believe 100% that women can teach and disciple in church, and they should, 100%. However, Scripture is also very clear with what those roles look like and how they should fulfill those roles, just as they are clear for men. There are exclusions for certain things. And if we have an issue with that, it's probably one of two things, maybe more. It's either because, like, we have experienced men not leading for long enough that we're sick of that, and so somebody's got to do it, so I'm going to do it. It could be because of understanding of Scripture that maybe there's a thought that things are contextually based on the culture and those kind of things. Maybe it's because God has put in you a deep and abiding desire to lead in certain ways. And I want to say, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Let's just do it in the context of which God can bless most. So if men are not leading, what should women do? I already said this, but you should pray. You should ask God to nag your man. You should be an encourager. You should gently and in humility point out how you think God can continue to grow him. And you should pray for that. You should, as I said, reach out to other men and ask or see or encourage him to be discipled by another man. It says in Titus, you know, older men are to disciple the younger men. Older women are to disciple the younger women. And so you are to be about the business of continuing to serve faithfully in your area. So the church flourishes when men and women lead together, when they lead boldly and when they serve humbly, each using their gifts in unity. God's mission is a partnership. And together we reflect the fullness of God's design. And so the last point that I have is this. True victory comes through faith, not position. In the text, Judges 4:7, it says, and I will, so this is Deborah speaking, but she's quoting God. Judges 4:7. And I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand. Judges 4:14. And Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go before you? And then Judges 4:23. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel. So let us not get this thing twisted. Am I calling men to a deeper level of service? Yes, absolutely. But you need to remember, men, that we are nothing without God. That I can do nothing outside of Christ who strengthens me. That I am weak and weary and poor, and I bring nothing, and yet he supplies everything. And also, we can understand that true victory comes through faith, not position, meaning I do not need to fear failure. Have you ever heard the statement, I think it goes something like, showing up, like 50% of life is showing up? So men, show up. Are you going to get it right the first time? No. Do I expect for your family devotions to look like, you know, Martin Luther's Greater Catechisms? No. But do I expect you to do family devotions of some sort? Yeah, I do. Because that's what God's called you to do. Do I expect you to pray with the eloquence of Spurgeon's sermons? No. But do I expect you to lead your wife in prayer? Yeah, I sure do. You know why? Because that's what God calls you to do. Do I expect that every single man in this room ought to have a desire to serve somewhere, like a deacon or an elder, at some point, someday? Yeah, I do. Do you know why? Because God in His Word says that those positions are ones that we ought to want. And so I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know if you are hearing this and you're thinking, man, I'm checking all these boxes. If that's you, praise God. Don't be proud. Continue to fall at the foot of the cross. If you're here this morning and you're thinking, ouch, I'm probably not coming back here, let me give you an encouragement. You should. And you know why? Because I'm telling you things from God's Word that you need to hear, and it hurts because God wants you to hear them, and I love you. I love you. And if any of you are mad about any of the stuff that I've said, listen, this is not a popularity contest. I would love it if you like me and you want to come and hear, but if you don't, like, that's okay too. There are plenty of other good churches out there, and maybe my style is not for your style. I don't know how many times you hear from the pulpit a preacher telling you, like, find another church, and that's not what I'm telling you, so don't hear that. But at the same time, I'm here to tell you this. I'm not going to guard you from God's Word. I'm not going to water it down so it's palatable to you. I'm not going to do that. And so if that is the church you're looking for, this is the wrong one, but I hope that's not the church you're looking for. So here's what I need. I need a few good men. Is that you? I hope that it is. You know who else hopes that? The women of this church. And if you're married, you know who really hopes that? Your wife. Or your daughter. Or your granddaughter. Because they love you. And they want you to be the best man that God has called you to be. So with that, I'm going to close us out in prayer. God, our Father in heaven, help us to understand that you have divinely designed men and women. Your design was perfect from the beginning. You knew that Adam could not dwell alone, so you made him a helper that was fit for him. You knew that Adam was born to be a leader, you knew he could not lead alone. So, Lord, I thank you that men and women were created to serve you with one another in harmony for the good of your kingdom. I pray, Lord, that you would help both the men here today and the women to grow into, to mature into, to accept and to flourish in the roles that you have called them to, that you might be honored and glorified, that your kingdom might be built, that we might be protected and strengthened. And I pray this because you're worthy. So God, I'm going to ask that you would raise up men, men of Allegan Bible Church, men of Allegan County, men of Michigan, men of this nation, that you would continue to raise up good, godly men to lead. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand and sing.